All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Great to have my man, Woody Lashenko, owner of Pete's Golf Shop and Studio. How you doing, Woody?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, we are looking forward to a great show. It's July 4th weekend, lots of celebration, lots of drama, fireworks, and speaking of drama, we got a...
We got some fireworks coming.
We got some fireworks coming today. But let's take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, we're back. On the other side of the table here is Woody Lashen, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Always a pleasure to have him in. And on the line is the director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club, Rob LeBritz. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with the drama. I mean, there's a lot to discuss today in terms of the PGA, the upcoming PGA. But, you know, as if it wasn't enough, with the hole out in 2013, now we have the 35-foot putt to get into the – to not need a playoff this year to get into the PGA. What's with you in these dramatic instances?
I know. That seems to be the $20 million question. Trust me, I like to make it easier on myself. But, yeah, it was a good solid 35-foot putt on the 18th hole to kind of get me in on the number and not have to worry about the playoff this year. But, you know, even better than that was probably the up and down in 17 to have a chance to have that 35 putt on 18. Got up and down from the left side of the green with really nothing. Pin that sloped away from underneath the tree. Hit it to about a foot, which was probably the shot of the tournament for me. But very, very excited to be going back to Baltusrol.
Hey, Rob, tell us a little bit about – I don't think that our listeners know how important the CPC is to you professional golfers, and you know how hard the competition and how hard it is to get to a PGA, and this is going to be your fifth time going to a PGA.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a qualifying process. There's a, you know, there's 40 something sections in the PGA of America, and we have to make it through the first qualifying to get out of our section, which we did last year, which brings 312 of us together at the National Club Professional Championship, and 20 of us punch a ticket to the PGA Championship, the season's final major. So, you know, the qualifying is pretty brutal. You got three rounds you have to get through, and then you have to get through another four rounds. So, you know, a total of seven rounds, and you can't really make many mistakes to qualify for that season's last major.
And then coming out of the Met section on top of it is, you know, qualifying is where the competition is particularly steep. It makes it all the more gratifying, I would think.
Totally. You know, there's all the sections, it's harder and harder to get into the National Club Professional Championship. But, you know, the Met section's always been obviously one of the best playing sections around. We had five guys actually qualify this year from the National Club Pro to go to the PGA Championship, which is, I believe it's one of our best finishes ever. It's a tough couple. You know, you're going through a couple months because the qualifying starts last year, and then you come up to our National Club Professional, which, in my opinion, is besides the PGA Championship, that's one of the biggest tournaments that I'll play in my career. if you win, like Rich Barbarian did, you get six PGA Tour exemptions, and you also get to compete in the PGA Championship. So it can be a life changer just by playing well in that event.
I can tell you, as a fan of the Met section you know, having five guys and, you know, guys I know and been lucky enough to work on some of their clubs, it's so cool having five of you guys playing in the PGA Championship. I'm curious to especially, you know, so close to home where we could all go and watch if we want to. How for you, how is it going to play at Baltusrol, being, you know, so close to where you are?
Well, it's nice. It's almost a home game. I actually thought about driving back and forth from my house to Baltusrol, which is how close it was. But it's just a little bit outside that comfort zone. So, you know, we got a hotel room down there. We may even rent a house. We'll see. But to have a home game where everybody has access to come out and watch, oh my God, that's you know, that's huge, because we're so close to all our members, all of our friends, you know, our family. It just makes it that much easier for them to watch the PGA this year.
What's your experience with Baltusrol to this point? Not that it's going to play anything like what you're used to seeing, but have you had much experience on the golf course?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've caddied two times in my life. I've caddied for one of my students who played in the USAM last year at Olympia Fields, and I caddied for one of my members, who, Ned Zacker, who played in the in the MGA Mid-Am there, probably about 10 years ago. So that's my experience on Baltusrol.
So very extensive, very extensive.
Yeah, and I teach a few guys from there, I know that. But other than that, yeah, no. So looking forward to the next couple weeks to kind of getting out there, you know, before the practice rounds start and just getting a lay of the land. But not much, unfortunately. But I know it's a fabulous golf course. It's right out in front of you, and there's nothing really tricked up about it. It's going to be a great venue for the PGA Championship.
Well, I'll tell you, as part of the Met Golf Riders, we got a chance to go up there and see it a couple of years ago, and it's a tremendous venue. I think we'll really enjoy it, and I know that if you can, folks, you know, get a ticket and take a drive out there and watch.
Absolutely stunning.
From what I've heard, they're not really narrowing the fairways a ton, but the rough is going to be pretty extreme, so you'll have some nice wide fairways to shoot at. Kind of like the way they always play the golf course, but again, just a little bit more penal when you get offline.
What has your so this is going to be your fifth PGA, and you actually made the cut and finished what, 68th?
Yep.
What is the experiences of, you know, obviously playing and not making the cut, and then playing and making the cut? How is that a big advantage to you? Because I suspect it's got to be a huge advantage.
Yeah, the first couple majors, you're pretty wide-eyed. You know, the first major you play in, it's almost like a dream come true. It's sort of surreal. The second one you play in, it gets a little easier. By the third one, I was ready to make a cut. I was very healthy in 2010. I qualified again in 2013, and unfortunately wasn't super healthy with my body. I had a disease that I was kind of fighting, which has been taken care of since then. It's called Graves' disease. I had a thyroid disorder. So it took me a couple of years to kind of rebound from that. But, you know, I'm 45 now, best shape of my life, really balanced, you know, with that thyroid problem now, and I've been working my tail off really, really hard for last year to get through this, to get through that National Club Pro and get into the PGA, because, again, all you have to do is stick four rounds together. It's getting easier and easier the more opportunities that you get.
Yeah, I would imagine the level of being comfortable there, it would help definitely. Talk a little bit about that experience with the thyroid. I'm just curious when did you figure something was wrong, and you know, how long was that going on before you even identified it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's one of those weird sort of diseases where you really don't know what's going on.
Right, exactly.
You slowly kind of just get weaker, and you slowly lose weight, and then, you know, mine hit a head probably, I think it was right in the beginning of 2014 when I had my, or 13 when I had the thyroid out. I lost 50 pounds in a month in January.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it was scary there, but it was on overdrive. We caught it, you know, had great care at Memorial Sloan Kettering there, and they did a fabulous job taking it out, and it took a couple years to balance me. I have to take a pill every morning because I don't have thyroid. You know, being my hormones being created naturally in my body anymore, so it takes a while to balance it out and kind of feel good again. But it's been a couple years now. I've been really diligent with my diet and working out and seeing my doctor and ready to go, 100%.
Is your body more sensitive to when you don't eat right or you know, drink proper, you know, amount of water or whatever the case may be? Is it more is it just more dramatic in terms of how it reacts?
Yeah, it's changed. There's certain things now I used to love to eat and drink. I can't do it anymore. You know, certain alcohols that I used to, you know, at nighttime, if you have, I wasn't a big beer drinker. You know, I like my wine. I like tequila. I can't do tequila anymore. So there's things that just don't react well with my body, but it's been a learning process the past couple of years, and it's really clean now. You know, there's no sugars, no carbs, no, mostly protein and just good stuff going in, limit the alcohol, and a lot of working out. Tons of water, like you said, but you got to just eat clean now. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
had my time to like not, and now it's time to take care of myself.
That's great. I mean, if you know you don't have your health, talking to a guy himself who doesn't have a thyroid. I had thyroid cancer. You know, you get those levels, and when you finally figure it out and get it balanced out, it makes a huge difference. But it takes a while.
Yes, it does.
It takes a while. But if you have your health, that's, you know, 45 years old, you're right in the prime of your time there.
Yep, definitely. We're you know, there it was no woe is me. It was just something you had to deal with. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And you know, knowing that what I felt like before and now what I feel like now, it's night and day. So going through that was just made me a better person, made me a better player. And we're gonna just put it behind us and try to win as many golf tournaments as we can.
I'm curious. Did you say you've been working really hard? So why don't you tell the folks a little bit about like what your practice regime is? Because I think that most folks think, oh, the golf pro, you know, he's practicing and, you know, at noon. And you know, I many of my friends I know are they're hitting balls at, you know, 5 a.m. because at 7 a.m. they're going to be on a tee teaching. And tell us a little bit about, like, for your preparation for the PGA, what you'll be doing and how you'll be doing it.
Well, again, my preparation started, you know, probably about a year and a half ago with the diet and kind of just working out. I do functional training workout, you know, 4 to 5 times a week with my trainer, Curtis Jackson. So we're constantly moving around, constantly keep my body moving. And then for me, it's just having a great family and a good balancing act of running the club, you know, taking care of my students, and getting some time to keep my game sharp and my family. So those are my four areas that my life consists of. If I throw anything else sort of on top of it, it throws it out of balance. So it's been balanced pretty well the last 3-4 years. My club is phenomenal. I get tons of time to practice. When I say tons, you know, my students understand that I have a big week coming up here, so they're very understanding when it comes to lesson time. They understand that I need to, you know, work on my game as well. So, you know, for me, it's 12 to 15 hour days every day. You know, I wake up in the morning, I work out with my trainer, I get to work, you know, in between lessons and taking care of business at the club, you find really, you know, what I try to do is put, you know, an hour or an hour and a half in between certain lessons so I can at least, you know, grind away and work on the short game and, you know, work on my wedge game and keep my swing sharp. But in the next 3 weeks, I've got a bunch of events coming up. So, you know, the Westchester Open, I'll play the New York State Open at Bethpage Black. The Westchester Open is actually at my club at Glen Arbor. And then the PGA Championship rolls right into there. So right after we get off of Bethpage, I'll be walking on a Baltus roll. So, you know, the preparations, it started. It's a long time ago. It's just I'm going to make sure every part of my game is firing and on full cylinders and my body's ready to go and see what we can do at Balti.
When you lay out your plan in terms of your practice, and you know, I know you try to keep your life balanced, and you probably have some sort of practice plan. What does that look like, or is it just like, oh, I have an hour here, let me work on some short game, or do you have a specific plan in place in terms of, you know, for every opening that you have or every, let's say, time that you have slotted for practice, you have a different something specific you want to work on?
Yeah, I do. So I won't do more than 2 hours of teaching in a row now. Mm-hmm. So I'll have 2 hours, and then I'll take, like I said, an hour and a half to kind of work on my game. For me, it's maintenance on my game. My golf swing's good right now. You know, my short game, I'm just working on my short game constantly. It's a constant, you know, wedge, short irons, sand wedge, you know, just constantly working on, you know, getting up and down, and just making sure that the short game's tight. I always strike the ball pretty well, and my golf swing is in a really good shape. I've been practicing again, you know, a lot of just curvature. I got the curvature of the golf ball down. I got the flight trajectory control down, and now it's just keeping everything else tight. Your bunker game, your wedges inside 100 yards, you know, chips, pitches, putts, and just everything that you can really do to dial in your feel and your touch. For me, it's not about hitting balls anymore. It's really about just, you know, dialing in my touch and my feel and putting myself into situational practice rather than hitting golf balls. I mean, you know, standing around that last putt on 18 a couple days ago in the National Club Pro, you know, I've hit that putt to qualify for the PGA Championship a million times. It just happened that this was the one that the cameras were actually really there and I was really on the green. I've done that in practice a million times. So that's the way I like to prepare myself, put myself more in situations than just pounding balls and working on my game.
Sure. We have to take one short break, but we'll be back with Rob LeBritch. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back on par with Anthony Scorsia. Woody Lashin's my co-host, and on the line is Rob LeBritch, the director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club. Rob, in your preparation, you said you're working on maintenance for your golf swing. What is it about what does that mean in terms of your swing and your swing philosophy?
So for me, it's you know, I'm a huge believer in the setup. If I can set up the same every time, nice and neutral, you know, the club's going to go back in the same position every time, and I'm going to have a chance to bring it down the same every time. So for me, it's just really maintaining that neutral position in my setup, do a lot of mirror work, and then, you know, ball striking, you know, with just drills, you know, as far as making sure the line stays right, I make sure my distances are right. I hit a lot of odd distances with irons when I'm practicing. So if I normally hit my seven iron 185 yards, you know, I'll try to hit it 140. I'll try to hit it 120. So I'm always dialing in my feel. And then, you know, always working on inside 100 yards because that's the most important part for any professional or any golfer playing golf. Inside 100 yards is more important than anything.
So that'd be your advice to your students? You have them to work more on their short game than anything else?
Oh, yeah. If you've read all the stuff that I've been posting lately or, you know, things we've done with PGA Magazine, it's all focused on wedges and short game and you know, hitting the ball a certain distance to get it in the hole. It's amazing how many times I'll be, you know, coaching a good player or you know, member or, you know, high handicap, low handicap, and I'll ask him what's the object of the game of golf, and you'd be surprised at some of the different answers that I get. when really, you know, we're trying to get the ball in the hole in the least amount of strokes possible, and you're given 14 tools to hit the ball different distances, so you better learn how to hit every one of those clubs a certain distance. I mean, so you're a 7-iron, you've got to learn how to hit it 90 yards, 100 yards, 130 yards, 160 yards. That's what makes complete players, really feeling how hard you can hit each shot and how far the trajectories carry and how far the ball carries. And it's, you know, there's a lot of practice that goes into just feeling how far the ball is going to go with each club.
How much time are you going to spend on you know, in terms of putting, in terms of like your preparation and is that, how does that feel? I mean, obviously you're putting well, so, you know, that doesn't need a lot of maintenance, but, what types of things will you do for that?
Well, I know the greens are going to be faster. And like I said, I want to get out to Baltusrol in the next upcoming week. I may even try to squeak out there next week, just to kind of get a lay of the land and see what I have to work on, knowing what I have to do. But, you know, keeping the putting sharp, the greens are going to be faster.
Yeah.
I know at Baltusrol they have a pretty big slope on the upper and the lower course when it comes to the greens. So just understanding how they break and how fast they're going to be is just mostly speed drills. And once I find out the brakes, but I've got to see the lay of the land first.
Sure.
Am I correct that the Todd caddies for you? Does I have that correct?
Yes, Todd Luigi. He's been with me for 5 years now. Doing great.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of having him caddy for me a few weeks ago, and really, really great guy. I'm curious, will you try and bring him up there for some of that extra practice, or just for the practice rounds at the PGA?
Yeah, so I will. This is going to be his first major. I usually have a guy that I've leaned on the last few years. His name is Van Silver. He's caddied for me basically in all my other majors. I think the last time I played in 2013, it was his like 32nd major championship.
Wow.
But while I did that, I also had Todd with me. So he got to know Van. Todd's a very, very good caddy. I mean, we've been training for this now for 5 years, and he's been working his tail off to get here, and he's earned it. So we're going to go in there, and I'm going to try to get him out with some practice rounds, with me, definitely, so we can both see the lay of the land, and then, get out there before the tournament. And Todd's going to be on the bag. I'm pumped to have him.
That's great. That's great.
So it's actually, I guess, on some levels, it's good that this is your fifth PGA, and because this is his first, so on some levels you'll be calming him down versus him calming you down.
I'm sure I will be calming him down. It's all good because you got to experience it once to be able to know what you're doing. And like I said, Todd's a retired police officer. He's a great guy. He works extremely hard. He takes care of me out there, and he's worked hard to get to this position. I know he's going to do great.
Well, I could tell you, when he caddied for me, he was spectacular. Knows the game quite well, and you got a great guy there.
Thank you very much. He is a good friend.
Rob, thank you very much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. I know you've got, like you said, there's four areas of your life you're trying to balance. So to carve out a little time for us to talk about the experience, and we'd like to have you on again, obviously, after maybe, and just to kind of talk about the sort of post-game analysis, if you will, and talk about, obviously, the PGA in general, but also your experience there. But to take the time to talk to us, I really do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. I mean, this is part goes along with it, and love chatting with you guys on the radio anytime. Just give me a call. I'd love to chat with you guys. You know that.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Woody. Thanks, Ant. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, and best of luck, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Okay, pal. All right, that was Rob LeBritz, director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club. We're going to take a short break, and Woody and I will be back to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back. Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, is my co-host today. Always good to have him in. Woody, let's talk a little bit about the local scene. You're pretty clued in and tied in. State Open and some other things coming up. What are you excited for?
I don't know if I'm clued in, but...
Well, you're clued in, I'm clueless, whatever.
Well, obviously the next big thing is coming is the State Open on the black.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be extra interested because Kirk qualified, so hopefully get a chance to watch him.
When will they? When do they come out with the pairings and all that at the time?
Usually it's not till a few days before.
Right before.
For the tournament, in case guys drop out. I just had Greg Hurd in our shop. Matt Hurd. Greg's a father. Matt, sorry, Matt. He had tried to qualify and was first alternate.
Oh, okay.
And he just got the news yesterday he's in, so they're not going to come out with the pairings till they've got to make sure everybody's in and stuff.
Right. And
but folks, let me tell you, if you want to go see some good golf, no ropes, Bethpage Black, State Open, tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, the quality of play is spectacular.
Well, Mr. LeBritz will be there, so yeah. you could imagine.
Exactly.
The quality of play is top notch.
I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. We probably don't have enough time, but I'm just curious, since I don't get to see you, you're hardworking at the shop, and understandably this is your busy season, but just your thoughts on the Olympics and just what you've seen, what's been going on in terms of all these player withdrawals. I mean, I'm not sure who's going to be left in Ireland to play for them. Everybody is withdrawing. It started with Adam Scott, and then now Jason Day and Brandon Gray. And I think Brandon Grace is South African. But anyway, it seems to be pretty, it's becoming more and more difficult to understand the – I don't know. I guess it's just hard to explain in terms of, I get what they're doing, but now it really takes away from the idea of the Olympic golf and what they were trying to do.
I mean, I always, first of all, everyone's out to their own personal decision, right? Whether you want to go play or not.
Yeah, of course.
I can tell you, if it was me, I wouldn't be going.
Right.
Listen, especially if you're a young guy and you're going to have kids, a Zika. I mean, that's anyone can get it. You want to put yourself right in harm's way. And plus, all the reports. I mean, I was just watching last night where the swimmers are going to have to swim it's putrid where they're going to have to make some of the stuff go on. I just don't know if especially in golf, if someone wants to put themselves in that position. Listen, if you're a triathlete and this is the pinnacle of everything, I mean. And maybe you make a different decision, because that's, every four, you only get a chance to go do something like this every 4 years. Golf being, new this year back. I don't know. I mean,
well, I think it's a shame, really, because you have two things working against it. One, they fought so long or hard to get the golf in the Olympics. And then, you would think on some level, the statesmen of golf that tried to do this feel a little betrayed that their stars are turning their backs on their efforts. That would be
But they're not turning their back on their efforts. They're turning their back on Rio and what they've done to not fulfill their end of the bargain, in my opinion.
Right, right.
I mean, it'd be one thing if it was, with that Zika virus there, but they were all over it, right? They were spraying for it, and they were doing all the things they're supposed to do, and all the buildings were done, and everything was clean and ready to go. I think it'd be a different story. Then you could say, "Oh, you turn it back on us because you're afraid of something." We've done everything we had to do.
Right.
You can't be upset if they, the hosting venue has done, 60% of what they have to do.
Right.
I don't see being, it will be unfortunate if this is a one and done for golf.
Right.
Because of that. Obviously, as a golfer, I love having golf in the Olympics. I think it's really cool, but. You got it. You have to put your family first. You just don't want to put yourself in harm's way. And these guys, the travel that they have to do is so difficult.
And then
to have to go and put yourself in a situation, maybe, hey, I want to bring my family. I can't bring my family there. I don't blame them for saying.
Well, and people don't realize, at least the majority of the public don't realize that. Just because they're not playing in a tournament doesn't mean they're not working. I mean, these guys have all kinds of corporate obligations, and then they have outings, the private outings that they do. They work a lot more than you think.
You have no idea.
Right, when they're not on TV. Let's just put it that way.
A friend of mine was on vacation, and a couple of tour players were there, and he said he couldn't believe – when he went in the gym at 5:30, they were there.
Yeah.
When he went to go, do a little putting and chipping himself at 7 o'clock, they were still there.
Right.
I mean, these guys have to put tons of time in to play at that level.
Yep. Absolutely. That's all the time we have, folks. I want to thank my good friend Woody Lashin for being on the show again this week. It's always a pleasure to have him here, and just a joy to have him on the air. So. Folks, enjoy your weekend. Please be safe and make sure you see your local PGA professional. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.